As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
From Podcast One and the Lady Gang, are you ready for a relatable, unapologetic take on life? This is the Ladies Like Us podcast with Nazanin Mandy and Nadia Mohan.
Welcome back to another episode of Ladies Like Us. I am Nadia Mohan.
And I'm Nazanin Mandy.
And just real quick before we get into the show, we want to take the minute to thank all of our amazing sponsors. We want to thank them for all of their support. To learn more about them, check out the show notes for this episode.
This week has been interesting.
It's been a good week. Busy week.
Very, very busy week. I think it's time for our high and low.
And I'm gonna be high.
Nadia.
Yes.
How was your week?
Oh, well. Let's just say I literally blew this week.
Yeah.
Blew chunks.
I witnessed it. I was there.
Oh, man. Where do I even begin? All right. So I'm going to get into my blow. That's where we started. We went to this PLT party, mm-hmm. right? Yeah. That was a good time.
It was a really good time.
It was hot as balls.
Yeah. We were sweating off our lashes.
Man. Well, first of all, I was trying to get out of this party so bad because I was on my period. I felt like a whale. I couldn't find anything to wear.
She didn't look like a whale.
Of course, she's going to say that because she's very nice. But anyways, I know what my gut looked like. It looked like it was 5 months pregnant.
Oh, my God.
Listen, I was bloated. I was grumpy. I was irritable.
No, that feeling is the worst. Like, you don't want to do shit.
Yeah. I tried on everything. I was like, I don't want to be in the heat with all these people, and I'm just not having it.
No, I feel you.
So I was already just not into it. And then, you know, I had to go.
Yeah.
It's just one of the things I have to do in life. So I go, and, like, we were in a mad dash. Did your glam. Did my glam. Like, I swear, didn't I do it in the car? I usually do it in the car.
Yes, you did it in the car.
Yeah. And I get there, and I'm on an empty stomach.
Mm-hmm.
That was problem number one.
Exactly.
So I was looking all over this party for food. No freaking food at the party.
No, just alcohol.
Come on. Where are the sliders? So needless to say, I just started drinking because I'm like, screw it. This is the only thing that's going to make me feel better. So.
Right. And it's hot.
It's hot. I need a drink. I'm drinking. Everything's fine. We're having a good time. Cut to the Uber ride.
And let's just say, thank God we left when we did.
Oh,
because
man.
If we stayed there 30 minutes longer,
man,
it would have been a scene.
It's, yeah. So, you know, I don't know who put me in the front seat. I probably shouldn't have sat in the front seat.
I think you just sat in the front seat.
I think I just got in the front seat. I don't remember. I sat in the front seat and almost made it home.
No, you made it to my house.
I made it to your house.
We pulled up to my house and we were all stepping out of the car and she rolls down her window and she just Ralphs.
Yeah, it was all liquid, obviously. Yeah. Nothing was in my stomach. It was just straight tequila.
Yeah.
The driver was not happy.
No.
But I didn't really get it in his car. It was like on the door on the outside.
He already had a problem with us.
Yeah.
Like Blanca wanted to turn the music
up.
And he was like, no, he wasn't having it.
Yeah.
He just wanted to drop us off.
Yeah, he was over our
asses. He was really over us.
Yeah, I get it.
I wonder what my rating is now. Do you know they sent me another bill?
For what?
To clean the entire car.
Why?
I don't know, but they charged me another $80.
What?
Yes.
Oh, hell no.
No, I'm going to call.
That's ridiculous.
It's ridiculous, yeah.
Because that did not happen.
No, it didn't. And honestly, you didn't even get stuff on the side of the car,
no,
really.
I remember. I was just like, oh my God, I can't. Like, the minute the car stopped, I was like, motion sickness. And then I just rolled down the window and, like, you know.
No, and we would have offered to clean it up. If, like, yeah. You would have, if it would have gone
like,
in the
didn't
car.
Didn't they charge you and then I sent you money for that
yes,
part of it?
Yes, you did.
And then
yesterday at, like, 2:00, I got a notice.
That is messed up. Anyways.
I know.
Like, I get it. If we would have, like.
In no the car, all over the seats. No.
$80. Get out of here.
Yeah.
That's
no.
Exploding.
He tried it.
Yeah. So then, yeah, it was a mess. Then Omar drove us home in my car. And then that's when shit got worse. Because it was bad. And Penny was on the floor in the front seat. And I couldn't wait any longer. I was, like, trying to get to the door again. And I had, like, a slice of pizza in my hand that I was supposed to eat with all these napkins. And I, like, shoved it in my face to, like, absorb the throw-up. But, like, some of it squirted onto Penny. And, like, I barfed on my dog.
Have you ever barfed on your dog?
The look of horror that she gave me as she turned around with her eyes and she was like, "Mother, how could you do this to me?"
Did she get a bath?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And I got some in my hair. I was so mad because.
The weave?
Yes, because Veronica did my hair.
I know, it was so
good.
That
was so nice of her. She was like, "Girl, you're frazzled. Let me do your hair."
Right.
So she did my hair, and I had the perfect beach wave. It was like the perfect bend, not too curly.
And
it was
then...
so good. Then I Ralphed in it, and then, like, is it bad that, like, I just washed off the barf part?
No, I would have done this.
And I didn't wash my whole hair. I just washed the barf part.
As long as you washed your dog.
Yeah.
You're fine.
I washed my dog's ass and my barfy hair.
I'm not mad at it.
Yeah. I had to preserve it. It was too good.
Yeah, I get it.
So, yeah, that was my literal blow of the week.
I mean, that is a blow.
Yeah,
a blow for show.
I normally don't throw up anymore, guys. I left that in my past. And then I was like.
I know. When was the last time you threw up?
I don't know. But, you know, I was like, I was telling Omar, I'm like, should I feel bad about this? Like, I'm 34 and I threw up, like, and I got drunk.
No, it
like,
happened.
I was like, is it bad? Is it getting bad? Just tell me.
No, it would be bad if you did it every weekend.
Yeah.
That's a problem.
Hell no.
That's a problem.
No, this was literally because I just didn't set myself up for success and I didn't eat. And that was that.
Yeah.
It was just
you weren't
happen.
Like overdoing it at the bar.
Yeah.
This was like a normal thing.
Yeah, no. I told him, I was like, should I feel bad? I'm like, because I kind of don't.
You don't. No, don't.
So
don't
should I feel bad that I don't feel bad?
No. I'm telling you, you should feel bad if it was like a pattern.
No.
You know, we would talk to you.
Hell no. I know. Thank you.
Yeah.
What about you?
Did you
have a blowy situation?
I did have a blowy situation myself.
The same night.
The same exact night. I don't know what happened. I was also drunk. I'm going to start there. But I got home and I was fine.
Yeah. You were
no,
bad.
No,
and you
no.
ate.
And I ate. Mm-hmm. Like, I made sure I ate before we left. I got home and we ordered pizzas, wings, the normal shit. And I ate. We were all laying on the floor laughing. Like, mm-hmm. It was a normal night.
Yeah.
So I go to bed, and then all of a sudden I wake up at like 2 a.m. and my stomach is cramping.
Ugh.
And then I have these like cold chills, and so I start sweating. And then the nausea hits. Ugh. And then I just start throwing up.
I can't even talk about this right now. Like,
I know.
It's making me sick.
And I threw up till probably like 6 a.m.
When you're just weak and your stomach's empty and you're like,
You feel like you're going to die.
Yeah, it's
terrible. It was awful. So the only thing I could remember was I got food poisoning when I was like 17. And it was like
I can't believe that was your only time.
It's my only time.
Lucky.
I know. It was my only time. And I remember those symptoms and what I felt. And it felt like the same thing.
Yeah. No. You for sure got.
So
you ate something bad.
But I don't know what I ate.
And it's weird that nobody else got sick, so I don't know what you ate.
It was weird. But I ate something that did not agree with me or wasn't fully cooked, and I paid for it.
Ugh.
And it was It was, I literally felt like I was going to die.
Yeah, that's
this
it's
feeling.
The worst.
It's like your body's like, you need to get it out.
Yeah.
And it takes forever to get out. Yeah. And it's just awful.
And then the heaving when there's nothing left. And
yeah,
you're just like,
that was me around like 5:36 in the morning.
Oh, God, kill me, please.
Yeah.
No, thank you.
So, yeah, it was awful. Guys, I don't know.
Well, on to better things.
Yeah, but one thing I regret was I didn't take a bikini picture in the morning because my stomach was so flat. I should have took one.
You should have. You should have. Speaking of bikinis, we were like the fully clothed girls.
Oh, yes,
at the
PLT party. We did not show up in bikinis.
No.
We showed up in full
you
outfits.
Had black pants.
I know.
I was like, you're hot.
It was so hot.
It was hot.
Like,
it was hot.
Sweating.
Yeah, we were all sweating.
And all you can do at that point is drink.
Yeah, exactly.
That's all you can do.
I had a blast.
So did I. I had a great time. Yeah.
I mean, they pushed the party. It was supposed to end at 6 and they pushed it to like 8 because everybody
o'clock.
Was having such a good time.
Yeah.
So thank you, PLT.
Yeah. Can't wait for the next one.
All right. So what about the good stuff?
Okay. So the high of the week. My high was I was in the studio this week.
Oh, good.
And we wrapped up my second single already.
Oh.
Which is amazing because I like to have things lined up. You know,
right.
Done in advance.
Prepared for a go over
yeah,
here.
Yeah, absolutely. So we picked the second single. It's wrapped up. It's like ready to go. So now all I have to shoot is a music video for it.
Nice.
And like the cover art, but that's it.
Ooh, what are we going to do?
I don't know. We got to do something really creative this time.
Mm.
I'm like, I want to take it there.
Mm.
Like glam, hair, everything. Mm. I want to take it there.
I have to hear this. So
it needs to be
inspo.
Like fashion forward, all
yeah.
of that. So.
I mean, it always is.
I know, but I really want to push the envelope this time.
Oh, I like it.
Yeah.
Okay, so my high of the week is I just caught wind of this. This happened actually in May, but my mom called and told me this last night. She's like, oh my God, I have like such good news. I saw and then she saw this segment on the news that the FDA approved a new gene therapy called Zolgensma.
Okay.
It's the only second gene therapy approved by the FDA, and it is for muscular dystrophy patients.
Oh.
So my sister, for those of you that don't know, I had a sister who was 2 years younger than me who was born with a form of muscular dystrophy. Mm. There's a million types. Not a million, but there's a lot of types within that. And she had a particular one that you don't live to be an adult. Right. Like there's no adults living.
I feel like she lived for a while.
She did. Yeah. They told her she wouldn't live past 2. She lived to be 13.
Mm-hmm.
So that in itself was a miracle. But this new therapy is an injection. It's a gene. I'm not exactly sure what is in the injection. I didn't investigate it further, but they inject it into the spine and it needs to be given to them before they're 2. So if they're, if they're pre-diagnosed at an early age, which a lot of times they find out soon because the babies are not developing motor skills like a normal baby.
Right.
So that is like a red flag. And the parents are like, you know, my kid is not developing properly. What's happening? So that's when the diagnosis comes along. So, once they find out the diagnosis, then they can see if that child, they'll benefit from this.
Mm-hmm.
So all the studies that they were showing after they started giving them the treatments, their motor skills started bumping up.
That's incredible.
Like to the point where some of them were even able to stand and walk.
Wow.
So that's like a miracle.
Couldn't they have had this?
I know. It wasn't in the cards, but it's a beautiful thing to know that they've developed this now and that it's making a difference.
No, this is incredible.
Yeah, it's amazing. So that was like, that was really great news. I think that's beautiful.
No, that is the highest.
The highest of the high.
Yes,
for
of
sure.
The week.
I know.
That's
so
incredible.
That was great. Shout out to all you scientists doing
your
thing.
Get it.
But yeah, so that was that. All right, guys. And when we get back, we are going to be talking about sex, baby, with sexologist Shan Boudram.
You know, there's no secret I have an online shopping obsession.
No secret at all.
No secret at all. So I was online and I was looking for a dress for an event. And, you know, of course I bought it. But then I find out the next day I got a promo code in my email from the website, and I wish I would have had it before I purchased this dress.
Of course.
So annoying.
I hate missing out on a deal. But have you heard about Honey? Ooh. It's a free browser add-on that finds you the best deals online. It's an app that magically auto-applies the best deals to your cart at checkout. It finds you discounts and coupons across 37,000 sites. That's so many.
Wow.
I know. Amazon, Sephora, Best Buy, Nordstrom, and so many more.
Ooh, the best sites.
Right.
That is amazing.
Right?
Yes. Now, I've also heard that Honey has saved its 10 million members an average of $28.61.
Not too shabby.
I mean, that's gas money.
Yeah.
And a meal.
Also, Time Magazine calls Honey basically free money.
Who doesn't like free
right.
money? Look, there's really no reason not to use Honey. It's free, and everybody loves free, to use and easy to install on your computer in just two clicks.
So, shop with confidence. Get Honey for free at joinhoney.com/ladies. That's joinhoney.com/ladies. Honey, the smart shopping assistant that saves you time and money when you're shopping online. Okay, welcome, welcome back. Today we have sexologist, intimacy enthusiast, and the author of her new book, The Game of Desire, Shan Boudram.
You did it!
Yes!
You won! You win the Game of Desire!
Everyone messes up your last name, huh?
Yes, I go by Booty for short.
Okay. Yes,
not
I
because
saw
of
that.
The anatomy, just because of my last name.
Right. I like that though, because it can go both ways.
Yeah, yeah. But it's one. Like it's important to manage expectations,
right?
Because some people think it means booty, and they're
right.
like, "Wait a sec." I'm like, "No, it's for the D of my last name." But you did great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Like
thank
she
you.
Did a research.
Oh,
yeah. Yes. Yeah. And it threw me off because you typed it wrong.
Did I
was like, "Shit, is that it or not?"
Sorry,
I was like. Oh my God, get into the bank of
it's Shan
knowledge.
Boardroom in there.
Yeah.
I'm impressed you just jumped into that podcast. There was no 3, 2, 1.
No.
That was almost startling.
No. We just do it.
Yeah.
We just get right in.
You just gotta dive.
I like that.
We dive in.
Yeah.
So how did you even get into what is a sexologist, first of all?
Yes, that I think a lot of our viewers want to know the definition of a sexologist.
I feel like
I want to know.
That's great.
Yeah.
I've educated a lot of Uber drivers along the way.
Okay.
So now I feel like the information's out there. A sexologist is to sex like what a nutritionist is to food.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the study of sex. It can mm-hmm. be as it relates to psychology, criminology, biology. Some sexologists work as therapists. Some work as curriculum writers. I work in the media. So I first went to school for journalism. And so my mission as a sex educator has always been to spread the information, to spread mm-hmm. the good news, which is why I'm here today.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm working in the field for 10 years, started off in Canada. And
so
I got,
you started when you were 10?
Right.
Naturally.
Like what?
So, you started in sexology at 10 years old.
I don't understand.
I know. All right.
Well, the math is not there.
No.
You're very seductive. I'm just feeling very, very good right
I
now.
I am. Yeah. You better watch out. Okay.
So how did you even, like, what made you intrigued by this?
Yeah, I mean, a shit sex life was definitely an awesome catalyst
okay.
for me.
Okay.
I have always been really sexually precocious. When I was 5 years old, my Barbies were banned from being naked. They just never had clothes on. They were always humping each other.
That's
I was
hilarious.
Just really
Ditto.
Fascinated.
Right.
By it. Really?
Yeah.
Were you banned, though? Or were they like,
no?
No,
they didn't know.
They
I was
didn't
sneaky.
Know.
But they were always getting it on.
Yeah.
There was affairs. There was it was
oh,
a
yeah,
lot of scandals.
Too.
Yeah,
yes.
yeah. It was like Melrose Place.
Did you watch soap operas growing up?
No, not really. I think I just had an active imagination.
I watched soap operas.
That I never.
No, they
so
did.
We're cousins.
They did. Yeah,
I never knew that.
Did you guys not play Barbies
never
together?
No, we did. Yeah,
yeah we did
all
the.
Time.
I did the PG with her.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
By myself,
and
it
then,
was R.
And then I fell asleep, and apparently her Barbies were having affairs.
Yeah, it was scandalous.
Were you the prude cousin? They'd like pretend like no, like Barbie's
no,
just.
She wasn't.
No.
I just think we just didn't go there. We didn't.
Yeah,
think, we were
we
so
didn't...
innocent. I think it was like my dirty little secret.
Oh, good right. for you. See, yeah. I didn't even know it was supposed to be a secret.
Right.
So
right.
your parents knew about your.
Yeah, they were just naked at the grocery store, and like you know when you finish playing Barbies, they just stop. Wherever you stop, and so they just stop on top of each other,
right.
and they walk in the room.
You
like,
walk
what
out
type
of a room
orgy?
To go get lunch.
Your mom's like,
I didn't know it was wrong. I really didn't know like physical touch was wrong. And so I that natural bit of me that just was enthusiastic about touch was really repressed. Went to a Catholic school, had Caribbean parents. And as a result of that, we find what we can find. And that for our generation tends to be porn. I always reference the book The Coldest Winter Ever. That was sex education for me. And in that book, she has sex the first time and orgasms like as soon as the dick touches the opening. And I was like, this is what it's going to be
like. Talk about unrealistic expectations. Yes.
But if you watch movies and you read porn, that's what you expect. Yeah. So I threw myself headfirst, kind of like how you started the podcast, into a sex life. It was just really unsatisfying. And when I turned 19, I was like, this can't be it. There's this thing that I love and I was looking forward to my whole life. And it's such a disappointment. When I started researching, there was so much great information, but it's just boring as fuck.
Right.
I was like, God damn, like sex education is bad sex.
Yeah. It's more progressive now. I think it back when we were younger and starting out, there wasn't the information there is now. It was more taboo to talk about it.
And
now
you had to search for it. And it was so clinical.
To search for it.
Yes.
Like you had to go to a library.
Yes.
It's to search facts.
The joy of sex.
Yeah. You had to go to the library and look up where S is and search for a book.
That's crazy
that
to think about.
It's crazy. We've come a long way, guys.
Oh, we've come a massively long way. Right. And it's like, at the end of the day, are people having a proportionately better sex life? I would like to think so, but there's still a lot more work to do.
Yeah.
Which is why we're here today.
Hey!
We'll continue the good work.
We need you to represent that for us, please.
So tell us about your book.
Yes.
I am dying to read it. I have a few friends that are dying to read it as well.
Well, we're looking at somebody.
Read or listen.
Or listen to it. Either way, they're going to take in the information. But tell us about the book.
Yeah, I think the dating advice that we give to people where they're striking out constantly, we would say like, well, just be yourself. Like, we think about that in reality of when would you else give that advice to someone who's having the lack of results you're looking for? If you really want to be a great cook and you're not throwing it down, we wouldn't say just be yourself. We'd say go learn, go enlist the help of experts, go get some cookbooks, practice in low-risk environments,
practice,
and then
practice,
put yourself in a
practice.
Position to a point where practice until the point that you can start making up your own dishes, right? But it's the same formula exists when it comes to love, sex, and dating. And we leave so much of that up to serendipity. Mm-hmm. And this book is like 10 years of education that I have learned crammed into one. But it's also the story of how I tried to impart this knowledge on 6 women.
Uh-huh.
Sometimes it went well. Sometimes it didn't. But that's what the game of desire is. It's teaching women to be in the driver's seat of their love life and take a strategic approach to getting the sex, love, and dating life of their dreams.
Mm-hmm. So you think more of a women take the initiative approach, you think that works out a bit better?
100%. You know, I mean, if something matters to you, you have to be in control to some capacity. If something is, and at the end of the day, like, our relationships are such a big part of our lives. It's a, I mean, our, as humans, our superpower is love. I don't mean that in a Barney way. Like, literally, we don't swim that long.
Right.
We don't run that fast. We don't climb trees. Our greatest power is our ability to work together and to connect.
Completely.
Love is our power. Yeah. It's also our downfall in many cases.
Yes.
So you have to learn to understand it so you can make the right decisions for yourself. And that's what I'm trying to impart on women.
I love that.
Can we get
men
a boom?
Eventually. We'll help men later on.
Boom.
But let's start with us.
Yeah,
start with home base.
I mean, we are the foundation, right?
Yes.
Women are the foundation, I believe, of this world. So it's very important.
Did you grow up thinking that, or you came into that?
No, I feel like I came into that. You know, I grew up in a household where, you know, and we've talked about it, where, you know, my dad ran the household, and it is, it's like that in my household as well. But really, we as women are the foundation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're the ones who communicate better most of the time,
mm-hmm.
you know, in friendship, with love, you know, in work. So I do believe we are the foundation for sure.
And that's such a big shift in mentality that a lot of people don't have. And applaud you for having that.
Right,
because
a lot
of us, we're waiting, right? We're waiting to see what someone else will say. We're waiting for permission.
Mm-hmm.
We're not giving our virginity up. We're losing it. Like, we are not in that space where we're looking at ourselves like, nah, like, we have a say. And even though we know we have a say, but when it comes to, again, this really big part of our lives, we kind of revert back to this, like, ancient archaic way of thinking where we're just waiting for someone else to pick us, waiting for someone else to show us how our bodies work. And like, fuck that.
I mean, I think a lot of it has to do with the tone that's set in your childhood. Like you were saying, you know, her and I grew up in a household where you just do not even say the word sex. Like my dad would just flip his shit. Like, oh my God, how about when... Like, when we would watch movies, Nas knows this. This is mortifying. When there was a sex scene, let alone even a makeout scene, he would flip out. He would start like making noise so that we couldn't hear the sounds of the kissing or the sex.
Oh my gosh. Like, what kind of sounds?
He'd be like, la 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 la.
And this is a true story. Yeah,
he would be like, cover your eyes, cover your eyes.
Which
don't
makes
look.
It so much worse it's and more like, uncomfortable.
Right, yeah.
As soon like as a I, kid. Exactly. As soon as I knew it was coming, I would throw the blanket over her and be like, you don't need to do all that. Like, I can't even deal with, like, it's so embarrassing. You're making it way worse.
It's a lot, you know? And
he'd be yelling at my mom, what didn't you know about this? And she's like, I've never seen this movie.
Like, she's supposed to know that they're
wow, it's like a real hurricane drill.
Yeah, it was bad. It was bad. So that's how I grew up. So I was not in touch with my sexuality, not till obviously way later. Right. And, you know, it took a while to get there. And I'm still learning about myself and still being like, it's okay. I can be sexy. I can feel sexy. I'm in love with my body. Like all these things that it takes a long time to get there when you're not, that tone is not set at a young age.
At all.
You know?
No, I grew up with my parents not even tell, like, to this day, we've never had the sex talk.
Oh, yeah.
No. Oh, wow.
And I'm 32.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Obviously, I don't need it anymore.
But yeah, like, we're good.
We're good now.
They might need it, though.
Maybe, but I don't want to know. They can figure it out. But, yeah, like, it was never talked about. I don't know what they did with my brothers. I have no idea if they even talked about it. But I know it was never, I was never sat down.
Yeah.
And spoken to in a mature way, explaining, you know, this is what happens and why. And, you know, it was just never brought up.
Do you think they have the conversation amongst themselves?
No. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Honestly, yeah. I don't think they did.
Yeah.
I think it was just kind of a like, under the rug, like, you know, she's
been a while.
And
my mom talked to me about my period.
Yes. No, periods.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. She was like, this is what's going to happen.
Yeah. Yeah, all that the was girl it. Stuff.
Yeah,
yes,
that's it. But absolutely. Not sex,
which is a win. That's really awesome.
Yeah, at least you know, like, you know, I just think if my future kids, I want them to know at the appropriate time, because I still have that like, it's such a fine line between like, when do you tell them? When do you have this conversation? Because they're learning so quickly
now. And
and they're learning the wrong information. So it's like they need to get the right information off the jump. And it's like, when do you say that? When, you know, when do you feel is appropriate to start talking to your kids about sex?
Do you know, like, your clitoris forms in the womb, your genitals form in the womb. Like, your sexuality is a part of you, regardless of what you identify as. It is an intrinsic part of who you are. So it's not a matter of, like, when do you bring it up? It's up from day one. You know what I mean?
Day one,
you get into this world, you are a sexual being. And so I think that the conversation has to be measured. One of the coolest things that I did in school is we went through age by age what's appropriate. Like, what a 3-year-old would do sexually, like, what their interests, what their thoughts are.
Mm-hmm.
And it was so, I'm like, I wish that my parents read this, because so many of the things I was doing was actually pretty along the normal rate for my childhood.
Mm-hmm.
But we look at it like, oh, if a 7-year-old is kissing, it's a problem. Or if a 13-year-old is masturbating. It's like, these are actually normal sexual developments.
Mm-hmm.
I said to my parents, because I lost my virginity at 16, which is around the median age for women.
Right.
It's been that way since we've been tracking it.
Right.
And when they found out, they were pissed at me. Like, they didn't speak to
me. You told them?
No, they found out, girl.
Oh.
Someone snitched.
Oh, shit.
My mom found out, too.
Yeah. And it was such an awful experience. They were in the basement, and they called me down, and it was dark down there.
God.
And they were like,
why
we've heard that you had sex. And it was like, I denied it. And then they had receipts. Like,
really?
Yeah. Somebody on my I ran track, and someone on my track team told their parents, and then they told my parents. So
it was
just an awful experience. But I said to them years later, and now I have a great relationship with my parents around sexuality.
Right.
But I said years later, like, when I started to walk, did you push me down? Did you yell at me for walking?
Mm-hmm.
Or you acknowledge it's a natural human development?
Right.
Around that age.
Encouraged you.
Exactly.
You know, I'm not saying they should encourage you sexually, but, you know, it was something that they didn't take away from you or try to bring you down for.
Yeah, because it's natural. Like, at that age, for example, like, your coccyx fuses, like, your pelvic floor becomes solid. You start getting pumped with all these hormones. I can't tell y'all, my desire to be penetrated was so unreasonable. Unreasonable from the age of like 16 to 20.
I was just about to ask. I'm like, by what age?
It was just, you know, it's so unreasonable. And like, now I'm like over the hype. I know it's like, you know what I mean?
But I wish
someone explained that to me and said, hey, this is why you're going to feel this way.
Yeah, I
love talking to dudes about their sex lives. And a lot of dudes will say to you, like, I honestly abused myself. I masturbated so much. The skin came off.
Wow.
And they thought they were abnormal. It's just normal human development.
So. Right. Yeah, I mean, that's we're it's just crazy. Trying to have that conversation, be like, look, you're not a freak. You're normal.
Exactly. A lot of people are going to relate to this.
Yeah.
And they're afraid to talk about it, which is crazy.
Did you have an unreasonable desire to be penetrated from ages 16 to...
I lost my virginity at 15.
Ding.
Yeah. I guess so.
You had a boyfriend.
I did like a serious high school sweetheart boyfriend. But yeah, I was like 15. And then, you know, once you do it, it's like... Yeah. You just keep doing it.
Yeah.
I waited till I was 18 for some reason. I was like, when I'm 18.
When she's talking, legal.
Like, yeah, when I'm legal. I'm an adult now. I waited till I was 18. I had some guy that I was seeing. I was obviously disappointed.
Yeah.
I mean, it just like, I didn't really want it at the time. It just happened. Okay. And so I was like, damn. That just happened. And I was like, oh, well.
Right. There you go.
It's gone.
But it's gone. And you did it.
Yeah.
And
I was like, I hope it gets better.
Bigger and better things.
Okay. So question. Is there a fine line between being desperate and being like a seductress and like taking charge?
Oh my God, absolutely.
So what's that, how do you differentiate that?
Do you know what, nothing is a greater teacher about desperation, I think LA, right? LA is a city.
Thirsty.
We all know why we're here, right? We're here for opportunities. We're here to become our absolute best selves. But if you enter into a meeting with the need attached to it,
right,
like there has to be a, like, this is mutual. Right. Like, right. Seduction is being so comfortably in awe of yourself that you intrigue other people in.
Right.
Seduction isn't like, it's not pressed up against you.
Right.
It's when I'm so like amused with me that you're like, what's so fun over there? Mm-hmm. I want to be a part of that.
Right. Mm-hmm.
The desperation is when you're like, hi, please like me. Like, you just, even if you're not saying that literally, if your eyes are saying that,
right,
we can tell that there's a need behind that. And that inherently as human beings, again, we're cooperation based.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you have someone in the pack who doesn't know what they can contribute, doesn't have a role, who's just there to like be there, that's a liability. So we are not attracted to people who we think are liabilities, who cannot mutually contribute. And so you have to be really, really careful. I mean, yes, you want love and yes, we want great connections, but also you're not in a rush because you know you got options.
Yeah.
Right.
You know what you have. You know your power. And just that in itself will eliminate the desperation element.
Yeah, that's the right mentality for sure. I definitely agree with that.
I feel like a lot of women don't know they have their power.
No.
They don't know what their power is.
Yeah, absolutely.
I also feel like social media has really warped their view of their own power.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because a lot of times it is artificial, you know, and I'm not saying physically. I mean, you know, inside it's really hard to find yourself when you're scrolling and you think you're supposed to be this way or look this way. So I feel like that hasn't helped.
Oh, no.
Us finding our power as women.
Like, I compare it to, like, driving, right? Like, in essence, what's happened is the cars have gotten fancier and more complicated, and they do a lot more, but our driving school is not any better.
Mm-hmm.
We're still
right.
not teaching people to understand themselves. We're not teaching people about the basics, even, like, attachment theory, which I think should be, like, just a basic thing everyone should know about themselves. This is, like, a nuance. And so we're not preparing people to be good drivers, but we keep improving the cars and we're wondering why people are crashing and burning. Like, it should be easier than ever to make connections these days in theory, and yet statistically it's probably never been a worse time to be a single person.
So
that I think is not your fault. That is the fault of a society that has failed you, an education system that has failed to prioritize what actually matters to people.
And it's I think also too, as connected as we are, we're so disconnected.
Oh, 1,000%.
Which is such a crazy thing to think about, but it's true. And with that comes all those issues, you know, that people are becoming socially awkward and they don't know how to have conversations with people. They don't know how to make new friends because it's in person and they don't know how to do that in person because everything is over their phone or, you know, over this device that they can pretend to be something they're not or whatever it is.
So it's an artificial
connection. It's creating a problem, you know? So,
well, kudos to you guys. Even this podcast, it's an intention of sitting down and having conversations and connecting with people.
That's why we wanted to start it.
Exactly.
You know, it's about time that people hear an honest opinion and perspective, and you know, and you can take it or leave it. It's fine, but it was time to really start talking about, you know, real things. And that's why we have you on here.
So. Oh, yeah. So we can talk about sex.
Yeah.
I feel like we're in a fishbowl right now, too. There's a bunch of men who are just...
Okay, so sex on a first date, yes or no? Or do we make him wait?
There's two big components that should be in every healthy sexual interaction, which is consent. Oh, hashtag me too. We can all agree on that. Yes. But intent is also really important.
Right.
We have to align on our intention. We both have to say yes, and we both have to know why we're saying yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Are you saying yes because you had a long day, you're just trying to bust a nut? Am I saying yes because I actually think we could build something real after this?
Yeah.
And if your intention is different from my intention, then maybe it's not going to be the best experience.
Right.
Because good sex to me is like, what? How do I feel the next day? It's not just did I orgasm or how did I feel in the moment or was I feeling steamy. The next morning, do I wake up and am I proud of myself? Do
That's
I feel good
truth.
About that connection?
Yeah.
That sexual experience lasts a little longer. Maybe right. even the next month. Who knows? So right. intent is a really, really important part of it. So mm-hmm. if we align on intent, if we have a great first date and I'm like, I'm feeling you, you're feeling me.
Right.
Let's see if this physical chemistry is there.
Right.
Oh, okay, cool. But if we have different intents and you're mm-hmm. like, I just kind of want to see what that pussy tastes like. And I'm like, but I want to see what your heart is. And that's not.
That is not going to work.
On the first date or the 17th date.
Unless she's right. like, cool.
Right.
That's different. Right. Then the intention yeah. is the same. Yeah.
Step right up.
Right. Exactly.
Like, then God. You're good.
Yeah. That's a bad example. That's how always. Yeah, that's kind of always a yes to me. I'll give that yeah. a go.
You're like, I don't think so.
Yeah.
Not today. So stigma with women being promiscuous,
mm-hmm.
the double standards of that.
Yeah.
You know, it's like men, we're a little easier on men, right? Everyone is. Society's a little easier on men. They go out, they're a player. You know, people joke about it. It's a thing. But when women want to go out there and do the same thing, it's a problem.
Let me ask you guys, do you still have to mitigate that own stigma within yourself? Do you have to manage yourself where you see a woman acting a way that you're like, okay, I may want to go back to some old slanderous ways?
No.
And did you have to work towards that?
No.
That's awesome.
Yeah, no.
What was the question?
I feel like...
reading my notes.
Whenever we talk about the stigma, we talk about it in the other, right? Like
right.
we're being stigmatized. Like these men outside of right now are there like judging our sexuality,
but it
really is about us judging ourselves
and
judging each other. And like that work has to start with you. And so you got to check your own biases. Like I know for me, I still got to check my biases. There's times where I see somebody get something that I don't. And my first thought is like to diminish their opportunities by saying, well, they got it because of X, Y, or Z.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that that's work that we all have to continuously do.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's shit. But it's been a part of our reality for so long.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. No, I agree.
And historically, too, the dude who sowed his seed in the town was a stud. You know what I mean?
It's
1850. You can make 10 women pregnant. Like, you were supplying the jobs. Like, you were funding the village,
right?
That was a rock star. And so for men traditionally, you know, if you the more promiscuous you are, we needed that. I mean, obviously, things have switched now. So they're starting to get a lot of the backlash as well, too.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what the healthy actual answer is because it just should be whatever works for you.
Yep. Absolutely. So we were talking about social media and, you know, all these DM slides and some are good at it, some are not. We're not a part of this world. We're both in relationships. But what is the DM slide etiquette nowadays? Like, what is the appropriate way to slide into somebody's DMs?
I feel like it's like the same as like in person or an in-person slide, right?
Uh-huh.
Like I think that people think of approaching somebody as like, can I get your number?
Mm-hmm.
And approaching someone should really just be like, I love your nose ring. Where did you get it from? Which I'm actually looking for a hook nose ring. So like, let me know.
She wants to know.
You know what I mean? Like it's just, it is a conversation starter and it's an acknowledgement of you as a person, something about you. And it shows I pay attention.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a copy and paste message that I just send to 15 people.
Right.
Again, that comes back to people being lazy and not knowing how to.
And not real. And just seeing who bites, right?
Yeah.
Nowadays, it's just like, well, look at all these choices. I'm just going to see who bites.
Right.
You know
and
what
you can
I mean?
Feel that.
Yeah. Right, right.
Yeah.
So, I mean, now, because of social media, it's kind of the easiest way, I'm assuming, to meet people. So, yeah.
I love that.
Honest.
I'm assuming. I've heard through the grapevine.
But, you know, when you slide in those DMs, be honest.
Yeah, be honest.
Sincere.
And I just, I mean... Maybe not, because this thing is, you don't have to like express intent out the gate. Also, too, like, have some respect for yourself, where I'm not going to propose somebody that I don't even know yet. Mm-hmm. You got to feel somebody out. Like, I'm not going to be like, you're really hot, can we hang out? Mm-hmm. I may not want to hang out with you. So I got to start it off with a conversation, let that lead, see if there's any connection, and then try to further the intimacy. Like, healthy intimacy, regardless of the nature of the relationship, is taking one tiny step forward, mm-hmm. being like, cool, how do we feel? Are you good? Am I good? Do we mm-hmm. feel good in this space? Not, let's step back. Mm-hmm. Or, no, we like it, let's step forward together. Right. Mm-hmm. And so that's the same thing when it comes to the beginning of a relationship. You get on the same page, you talk, all right, we cool, we're ready to take a step forward.
Yeah.
Let me see where you're at, let's check in together.
The communication is so important.
Oh, girl, yeah.
I mean, it's like, we say it all the time, communication, but it's like, it's so important. Like,
and you have to be reminded that, too. Though.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Exactly.
It's like this constant reminder of like, no, the communication, this is it. This is
well,
like,
it has to stay steady throughout the whole relationship.
Exactly.
You know, it's that's how you fall into the trap of being in a relationship and you get that natural spark and chemistry in the beginning because it's already there. But as time goes by, that so easily goes away mm-hmm. because that's just human nature. And it doesn't mean you don't love each other anymore. Or you don't find each other attractive anymore.
Right.
It's just you have to work to keep that there.
Yep.
You know, it's just like, for example, Omar and I will fall asleep on the couch a lot. And I will wake his ass up and be like, we're going upstairs and we're getting in bed because
right.
that's intimacy.
Yeah.
That's us laying next to each other and sleeping together. Even if we're not doing anything, that's
that
intimacy.
Touch.
Yeah. It's important. And
absolutely.
And you can, that can so easily get lost in the shuffle of life. Mm-hmm. So it's, you gotta
that
stay on top
the
of
routine.
It.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I've, after my last relationship, now I'm just like, okay, these are the rules.
Right. Like, no, that's
we got to do it like this. Yeah, because I'm just afraid to fall back into old patterns.
That's amazing.
That's such a big part of it, though, because we say communication is key, but we rarely tell people what to say.
Right.
Or in your example, you didn't even have parents that you saw communicate or communicate with you. They just yelled at the TV and you didn't understand what your dad actually felt. Why?
Right.
So I think it's important to go into the nuance of like, what do you say? How do you express yourself? I'm a big fan of like quizzes and assessments because it gives you the language to describe.
Mm-hmm.
And one of my favorite things is this site called Oh My Gosh Yes. It describes 9 different ways women orgasm.
Mm.
And like, it's not like squirting and penetration and nipple. It's like layering, orbiting, consistency, rhythm. Because when you could put a word to something, one, it validates you, and two, it makes it so much easier to communicate. Because saying to someone, communicate your needs is one thing, but that person's like, I don't even know how to put this shit into words, right?
Right.
So you had to learn trial by error.
Yeah.
You learned from your last relationship. Maybe you read some articles, or maybe you just checked in with yourself or did the work. But for a lot of people, if you're kind of frustrated in your relationship, sometimes it's not that you're not talking. It's that you don't really know what to say.
Right. Or, I mean, also, too, you it could be that you don't want to hurt the other person's feelings because you think, you know, you like things a certain way and they're not going to know how to do it until you tell them how to do it.
Yeah.
Like, it's just every woman, every man is different in how they like to be pleasured. And you have to talk about it. You just have to. You can't expect them to just know automatically, like, the roadmap to
Plus,
your body.
That creates frustration.
Yeah.
You know, with
resentment.
Absolutely.
And like,
it's like building. It's
exactly.
a different kind of layering. It's becoming a thing now. And then
you're
like, oh, why aren't you doing this right? And this other person's like, well, I didn't know.
Right. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
I didn't know you wanted this.
Yes.
Like, how can you blame me when I didn't know?
Exactly.
So it's important.
There's this philosopher called Alain de Botton, and he has this hour-long talk of like, it's called Why You Will Marry the Wrong Person.
Mm-hmm.
But it talks about some of the toxic habits that are normalized in romanticized culture. Mm. And part of that is like, we want a mind reader and a partner.
Mm-hmm.
We want, like, I'm married. And so my friend was saying to me, she's like, you and Jared just know each other. You just get each other. You guys are just so in tune. I'm like, fuck no. I'm so concerned with myself, with my nails being chipped. Like, my humanity brushes up against his all the time.
Right.
The biggest component of my relationship is the sorry word. Like, I'm not in tune with my partner. He has to express to me when I fucked up and vice versa. Like, but we want to get to a place in relationship, which is goals, where we just know what the other person is thinking and they're all of a sudden a mind
reader.
That's
not realistic.
Yeah.
It's not.
It's not ever going to happen.
Yeah.
No. But people have that in their head that it is for some reason.
That's really crazy.
Yeah.
You know, it's one thing where you feel somebody's vibe and you're like, oh, okay, like something's I've made a mistake. Off. Exactly. Like you could feel when things aren't right, but you can't read somebody's mind.
No. And in the moment, most of the time you didn't know. Like when you made that comment that offended your partner, you were just talking. You were not even focused. The intent wasn't there. And sometimes we get angry because our intent wasn't that. But it's about the outcome.
Right.
But oftentimes it's like we don't just know. There's no possible way. Even after years. And I don't want to ever just know. How boring is that?
I know.
It's like having to do the same math class when I already know all the answers. Like,
yeah.
I wouldn't go to that class no more. Mm-hmm. I want to be challenged. I want to learn new things. I want you to excite me. And so a part of that is accepting the fact that my partner is different. I think it's important to approach relationships not like a tour guide, but like a tourist. Why do you do this? Why do you eat this way? Like, what am I thinking? Yeah. Like, oh my God.
Yeah. I like that. I agree. Yeah. I mean, I'm an over communicator, so that talks to me.
Oh, we could be in love. We could be in love.
No, it's bad. To the point where it's like, I didn't like this and I like that and this. It's like he knows everything.
I love that.
But at least he can't come back to you and say, I didn't.
Exactly.
Know. Or he can't come back and say, well, I assumed.
Yeah.
Because he didn't.
No. And that's your bad. Because I told you.
Yeah. There you go. If you would have been listening, minute 12.
There you go. 60 seconds. That's exactly how long this commercial lasts. You know what else you can do in about a minute? Get an offer for your car with TrueCar. That's right. And the amount of time it takes to brush your teeth, pet your cat, do a few squats, or just listen to my voice, you can get a true cash offer.
And best of all, you can do it all from your smartphone or home. Just go to TrueCar and simply enter in your license plate number and watch how your car's details pop up. Answer a few questions and you'll get an accurate TrueCar cash offer from a local TrueCar certified dealer. It's simply that easy, guys. After that, you can bring in your car and they'll check it out with you together. You can ask questions and get the answers you need, so there's really no surprises. Then simply leave with your check or trade in your car for a new ride.
So when you're ready to experience a better way to sell or trade in your car, check out TrueCar today. Okay. So we have a game to today. And, you know, we're putting our own little spin on Would You Rather. I'm sure you've played that before in your life.
Yes.
All right. So the first one.
Are we all playing?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. We're all going to play. Don't worry. Would you rather have an obvious orgasm every time you're close to a piece of fruit or never have an orgasm again in your life?
Oh, obviously. Obviously an obvious orgasm.
Right.
Yes.
Right. I would have to say the same.
Just stay away from the fruit.
I'm going to avoid like the aisle in the grocery store where they have all the produce, but I'm just like, I'm gonna go with
I can't eat fruit.
No, I'm allergic. I'm allergic to all fruit.
I have to work so hard for my orgasm, so that's a fantasy for me. Like, I could just walk by some fruit. Like, for me, I gotta be like, okay, we're clocking in. Like, we're doing this today. So, yeah, that one. I'll just take that one. Oh. Why would you rather?
Do you feel like it's all mental for you, or is it both physical and mental?
Just how my body works.
It's just how you
body. Yeah, it's just like I need very specific clitoral stimulation.
Right.
It was funny, actually. I have this workbook that's like a self-defining workbook, and I read someone else's yesterday, and they just described their orgasm recipe identical to mine. I felt so seen. I'm like, we're the same.
Where is this book?
Yeah. Oh, it's a free workbook of all my favorite quizzes and assessments. Again, going back to like giving people the language to start those communications that you already do so well.
Right.
Right.
Okay, would you rather have morning sex or nighttime sex?
Oh, man, I go midday. Can I just go?
I'm the same. I'm midday as well.
I'm midday, yeah.
I have no preference.
She's all day, baby.
All the time.
Any time of the day, baby. At 24/7.
No, really, she's always ready.
Oh, my God, that's crazy.
Why are you midday?
Energy wise.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it's energy for me. Like in the morning, I'm a like get up really early and just start my day. Mm-hmm. Doesn't mean I won't do it because I usually do. I'll find that time. But my ideal is midday because of energy. And then at the end of the night, it depends. Like
You could really go at it.
We could really go at it, or we're both so tired because we've been running, running, running all day.
Yep.
Where it's just like, we're looking at each other and it's just like, done.
Yeah. I love midday. Midday is like a choice.
Yeah, same. And it's more fun. I don't know why. It feels a little more like scandalous for some reason because it's midday. Mm-hmm. I don't know what it is.
Well, my boyfriend has a 9 to 5. Okay. It doesn't really work out for us.
Good weekends. Try it on a Saturday.
Yes.
2 p.m.
It's happened.
Yeah.
Or midday sexting.
Yeah, that's
See,
right.
I like that. He's not, he laughs at me and then I just stop.
Really?
Yeah, he doesn't take it serious. And then I just can't anymore. It's just,
no, that's weird.
Yeah, all right. I guess that's enough for us. Right,
yeah. That's weird. Yeah, it's not.
Like I was, the other guy I was dating when I was single, we would sext all the time.
So
it worked with him.
He was into it.
It's just like not everybody's into the same things. Like, you know,
He like the nudes?
I
know he likes lingerie because you've told me.
Yeah,
that.
He likes lingerie.
Okay.
Yeah, I feel like he doesn't care for the nudes. I don't know why. I don't feel like I get like a crazy response. Like,
okay.
I feel like he's like, wow, hot. And I'm like, oh, never saying it again.
But what do we really expect when we send nudes? Like, what do we want?
I don't know.
I get it, though.
Just like wow, baby.
Right, yes.
Or like a call. Like,
oh my God,
that ass.
Both of those sound great. I'll take both of those options.
Like, I'll take the drooling emoji, something.
I know. I don't know.
Yeah,
that's
no.
hilarious.
It's just, I don't know. Maybe I haven't had that conversation with him, so.
Oh.
Maybe we'll have to talk about it.
The nudes or the sex tape?
Do you like my nudes or not?
Yeah.
And it takes so much effort to do them. My God. I have to like make sure, it's like for me, because this little Miss Perfect Body over here is just like click, click, snap, and it's over.
Like, I actually don't send a lot of nudes. I mean, because I'm afraid, actually.
Oh, that makes sense.
I never put my face. Mm. It could always be from here to like here.
Got it.
Yeah.
Good to know if we ever come across someone in the iCloud.
Now you know.
We'll have to know by your tattoos.
Yeah, and that's a dead giveaway.
Okay. Would you rather be in a relationship with a totally submissive partner or a totally dominant partner?
I'm going submissive.
Really?
Yes. I'm so dominant.
Powerhouse.
I definitely could not do a total dominant person. I've tried it in the past before. It's just really not. Unless they're a dominant person who has a fetish with my dominance. Not somebody who's trying to like overcompensate. Mm-hmm. So, I go with submission. Hmm.
Mm. I applaud you. I wish I could be more dominant.
You want a dominant motherfucker?
I would like to, but I just can't. I feel stupid. I'm not there yet.
She's like, so you want like the whips?
Yeah,
and the
I want to be thrown against the wall, ravish.
Okay. So you'll go with total dominance.
Yeah, I'll go with being dominated. Yeah.
Yeah. Same. Yeah. Same. Yeah. I like
it's
that.
Good. We can share. It's all right. Yeah. One for you. Yeah, one for me. Yeah.
I like a dominant. There you go.
All right. No. See
what okay. Would you rather your partner have a large dick and not know what to do with it? Or have a less than average size dick and know all the tricks?
Less than average, 1,000%.
Right.
One of my favorite books is Dr. Ian Kerner, She Comes First. And he wrote that because he suffered from erectile dysfunction. And he was, you know, his penis wasn't necessarily like the hero in the bedroom. Mm-hmm. And so he learned everything about the female body.
My man.
And then he wrote a book to teach other men. And so
maybe
I'm like,
he was your man.
Okay.
I live for these like cousin moments of just like an expression that tells 40 years of history.
Right. Like, just the look. Yeah, I'm gonna go with tricks in the bag.
Oh, same.
All
same.
The
I need the tricks.
I need the tricks, honey.
Like,
yeah.
And I just like, I think the whole sizes thing, like, it's not fair. Like, how women are just like, I mean, it does matter to a degree. I'm not going to sit there and lie and say it doesn't, because it does to a degree for me.
No. I trust me.
Right.
I know.
You know, like
it matters.
Yeah. But the whole, like, when women are just like, it's got to be big and da 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 da. And it's like, no. I don't know. It just, it's not fair. You can't.
They were born that way.
Yeah.
It's the same with boobs. Like, some dudes' boobs really matter. And some are like, it's all good.
And some are like, I can't help it.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
Well, men really can't help. I mean, I don't know about these penis, like...
Oh, enlargement.
Yeah. Yeah, no. Surgeries.
That sounds crazy to
yeah.
me.
Yeah, but I understand.
I
totally understand.
The pressure that they're under, I just...
Do they work?
I mean, it works in a sense of, like, if you can get more blood to the area, you can make it slightly larger, more engorged, even. Like,
I think width-wise, not length.
It... Yeah, I mean, no. Right.
I don't think you can really add length.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A penis pump. I'm not sure, like...
like Austin Powers?
What the centimeters God, yeah. are that you gain from that.
Yeah, but, I mean, that sucks to judge them overall for it.
They yeah. said... One of my favorite books, a book I read that was, like, kind of ridiculous. It was, like, one of those books written in the 60s. Mm-hmm. And the advice she gave, she's like, never, ever, even the worst argument, insult a man's penis size. You can right. never come back
yeah.
from that.
Yeah.
No, you can never come back. No, you can't.
It's a low blow.
That's a very... No pun intended. Yes.
Yeah.
yeah.
It is. It is.
We can't go after people's anatomy.
You can't.
Yeah.
In either direction.
Because no. if someone's like, your pussy's wide, like, even if we're cool the next day, I'm still
you're
like,
still yeah. thinking about it. Yeah. You're like, is it?
Right.
Like, you said it was.
Right. Yeah. right. Exactly. No, women, ladies, don't ever do that. That's not cool.
Well, that concludes cool. Would You Rather.
That was fun. Good question.
They're good, right?
Yes.
I'm into it.
So next, we are going to get into Ladies Like You, which is a segment where we ask our listeners three questions. And we are going to start with this woman said, orgasms. That's how she started it.
Double exclamation.
Yes. I have been struggling to get to that level of intimacy with my partner. What are strategies or recommendations that you would suggest? I have never had one, and when I feel like I'm about to, I get nervous.
You're stopping your process, girl.
Yeah, it's on the mind, right? Is it on the mind?
I like battle with that because we don't give that advice to men, right? Like, right. we understand that, like, if they're not getting stimulated, like, if they're not getting a hand job that brings them to climax, we're probably going to look at the operator of said hand job and be like, right. well, what are they doing? Why isn't that working for you? But for women, we put the pressure on ourselves. Like, just think harder about it. And you're like, nah, maybe you're not stroking me properly. Maybe you haven't mm-hmm. found the way to, like, rub the lamp and get the genie to come out. And so mm-hmm. there's a mix of mental, of course, because you can yeah. orgasm in your sleep, and there's a reason for that. Like, we have the ability to stimulate ourselves mentally, but a large part of that might be they might not doing the right things. I mean, this stuck out to me because initially they said, I can't with my partner, then said, I don't orgasm at all. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you can't orgasm by yourself, I don't know how you expect to get into a situation right. with somebody who can figure out something that you haven't even tried to solve
right,
yet.
Right, 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 right.
There's my favorite tool, the Womanizer, is like kind of like a tried and true. For a lot of women who can't orgasm, it's a good sex toy to start with. So I would probably say invest some time in yourself, figure mm-hmm. out what works for you, and I then like try that. To bring that into the bedroom.
Mm-hmm. Makes sense. You got to explore yourself to yeah. know what you like.
You got
and
to.
Then communicate it mm-hmm. to him, right?
Yes.
Like, we're going to go back to that. So
I was masturbating the other day, and this is what I like.
Exactly.
Yes. That was actually hot. That was actually really hot.
Do you know that go. She's a sex operator?
Really?
What?
I'm just kidding.
Like, I am?
That voice.
Into it. Yes. Into it.
I should try it one day.
Oh, you would be fantastic. It would be
I'm
amazing.
Down. I'm down. I'm down.
All right. Question number two is from, again, Anonymous. So my boyfriend and I have been together for a little over 2 years, and I'm still very shy when it comes to certain things relating to sex. We've tried to buy toys, but I always feel nervous and uncomfortable. So we don't, and he's mentioned role-playing, but I always just laugh it off as a joke because I'm too shy for that. What are some ways I could step out of this shell? I would love to be able to fulfill his desires.
Oh, wow. What advice would you give them?
Oh, that's difficult.
Let me read it again.
I mean, if we're going to get deep, the root is really trust, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, and why are you so shy about sex? What's the root of that?
Exactly. Like, you know? Did anything happen? Like,
yeah.
you know, what is the root of that? Did something happen in the past? You know, is there a reason why you don't fully trust your partner? Because if you're still like that closed off and shy, there is a deeper reason for that, I believe.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know?
But think about it from the place that you guys came from, even growing up, where it was never talked about. It mm-hmm. was actually the opposite. It was like a panic attack mm-hmm. every time yeah. it came up.
It was a very shameful thing.
You had
shame
to do...
and sex were an association.
Yes. Yeah. And you probably had to unweave those mm-hmm. through your own self-work.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And maybe it happened with a partner. Probably not. Probably it's self-work that you do that you now bring into the bedroom. I think, like, sex is like... like, for, you know, basketball, it's like game day or practice day. Sex is game day. And so in game day, you don't get to necessarily make conscious decisions or try new things. That's just your id. It's going to be whatever comes out of you, whatever's free for you. And that's why you have to really do the work before. So when you come into the bedroom, you can just be in flow. I'm a big fan of meet yourself where you are, though. So if you know right now, like, what feels good for you is missionary position, maybe, like, a little bit out of your comfort zone might be, like, whispering in each other's ears. So just, like, go find where are right now. Take a small step outside of that. I think it gets overwhelming when you start to think of extreme things like role-playing. Wherein for you, even showing up naked as yourself is fucking frightening. And now I gotta be a nurse? Like, that's a lot. So meet yourself where you are. And then when you feel good and you've practiced enough at that, take a small step forward. And ask your partner to be patient with you. Going back to what you said about trust, ask your partner to be patient with you through this process, because it's for them anyways. It's for the both of your benefits.
And she says she wants to fulfill his desires, but what about yours?
What about yours?
Exactly. You know, exactly. Like, so like she said, start with you.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
Boo boo.
There you go.
All right. The next one is, okay. What are tips to feel more confident with your body during sex?
I'm a big fan, again, like, meet yourself where you are. Like, so if you know you feel really hot with your lingerie on, there's lingerie you can keep on in the moment.
Right.
If a full fishnet bodysuit feels really sensual to you, if the light's off but one candle, like, you just – everything in relationships to me, like, a good relationship is, of course, about having a good partner. But it's really about liking yourself.
Totally.
It's about feeling like you're sexy as fuck, you're fine, you're fire, you're cool, you're interesting. And so you have to manage the situations that you have an opportunity to show up as that person. And so if you don't feel comfortable naked – that's just the reality of where it's at right now. You can read a bunch of self-help books. They're like, just do it. Just love yourself. That doesn't change the fact that maybe you just don't.
And so, if you don't buy it, how are they supposed to buy it?
Exactly.
Right. You, like, you're not even convincing yourself that you think you're
attractive.
They're
not going to eat it up.
You know, you got to find it within yourself.
Yeah.
It's really hard to go from not confident to confident. I think we use those as like A to B, and that's really A to Z.
Right.
There's a lot of small steps in between to get to a place where you feel apt at something.
Completely.
And it takes between A to Z, you know, you're constantly checking in with yourself.
Yeah.
It, you don't just reach this like peak of confidence and stay there. It's constant work.
Exactly.
Constant work to remain there.
And that's good news.
Yeah.
Right. It's a long life.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
And it's like little things that, like, for example, you know, before in my last relationship, I wasn't comfortable with my body as much. And that just comes with also age and just like not working out, not taking care of myself. And then, you know, I was younger and now I'm feel more powerful in my sexuality. I feel more confident in my body. And a lot of that has to do with, like, even now, like, I'll walk around my house naked. Because it's like there's no one there and I'm okay. Like, I'm being comfortable with my body, because when you're clothed all the time, when you're naked, it feels more startling.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
You feel more uncomfortable.
You feel
right?
more uncomfortable because you're not used to being naked.
Right.
And so now that I'm older and I, that's what I do now. And when I can, you know, if they're obviously
that's such
no
a great tip. So good.
Yeah, that, like, you just start getting comfortable seeing yourself naked and being like, okay, this is fine. Like, this is what I look like. And if there are things you don't like about yourself, work on them.
Yeah.
That's it.
Or work to mask them.
Or,
Not everybody. Let's be real, right?
Right.
Work to mask them. And also, remember, while you're working on yourself, like, there's no rush.
Right.
Like, you don't have to, like, be this thing in, like, a week. You know what I mean? Like,
yes.
It's important to remember, like, again, you have a long life, right? And we have all this – we do and we don't have all this time. It depends what you're trying to do with yourself. But, you know, when you really want to work on your core, like, it takes time. You're not going to get that overnight.
No.
Guys.
It's a process.
It's a process.
And it doesn't end.
It never ends.
It's a joyful process, too. I think when people think about, like, trying to get something that they're not – so, if, for example, I'm like, I want to lose 100 pounds. That's a – overwhelming number,
right?
And I'm like, I don't want to start working because that goal is so big.
That's
right.
But
outrageous,
once you lose five, you'll start to feel, walk, look, dress differently.
One step at a time.
You're going to start to feel the results, the positive impact of the change that you are embarking on long before you get to your after result.
Right.
And so when you focus so much on the after goal that you want to get, I think that really is a discouragement to even getting started and saying, like, nah, I'm in the race.
Right.
It's just like, put yourself in there and then who cares? What if you start and then midway through you want to go back and stop? stop. Like, again, it's a long life. And there's always something beautiful to be learned through every process of self-discovery.
Definitely. Another thing, too, that I was thinking about was in my last relationship, he was insecure, too.
So rubbed off on you, you think?
Kind of.
Was he like a lights off at all times?
Yes, that's exactly what I'm saying. Really? He did not like to have the lights on. Like,
wow.
Yeah. Like, it was weird. And so, but then now my new relationship, the first time he was like, lights on all the way. And I was like, oh my God. Yeah. You're like, oh, you can see everything.
That's the point.
Yeah. He was like, I need to see everything. And he was like, so into it. And then it made me feel good because I was like, oh, okay. Yeah.
And then,
take it in, baby.
Right. I see. I love that.
Yeah.
I love that. But that is true. Like, your partner's insecurities can rub off on you, right?
And especially if they don't communicate why the lights are off.
Right.
Oh, did he?
Did he say, I don't like my body?
It was like, and it wasn't always, but it was just like at nighttime. You know what I mean? Okay. And like, I was like okay with it because I wasn't comfortable. And so it just kind of like ended up being that way and we didn't talk about it. But it definitely was a change.
And like her ex is like a cute person. And like he's not like this ugly person.
I did not expect you to say that.
No.
Like an ogre.
Yeah. Like he wasn't at all.
Right.
So it's like.
It's his own issues that he has.
I know.
Deep issues.
It's just fun. Anyway. Yeah.
So. But that's his business now.
Yeah, exactly. You got
a full-time job.
Exactly.
You got a
man.
We're good.
Yeah.
Good luck.
But it's things like that that can help you build your confidence too. That your partner is just like.
For sure.
You're beautiful. For sure. I love everything about you. You're the good and the bad. You know what I mean? So not that you need to find your confidence through them, but it helps. It doesn't not help.
Right.
Well, I think it's a great point about that, too, is that sometimes we forget the fact that how we act out on our own insecurities can make our partners feel insecure.
Right.
Because he may not have said that to you. And so you're thinking, oh, he wants it off because he doesn't want to see me.
Right.
He's like, no, I want to see you.
Right.
It's me that I'm worried about.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
See, that would have been different.
Right. Exactly.
If he would have said that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, we just... It's done.
Bye.
Don't matter no more.
Nope. His loss. Anyways.
Well, that's that.
So, Shan, what's up next for you?
That's it. I mean, I'm in the now, which is a really great space to be.
Oh,
just
absolutely.
Like, I have a book coming out, which is really cool. I mean, I'm getting to connect with awesome people. My joy in life is to make this a normal conversation, and I want to thank you guys today for making this so comfortable and
cool,
for being vulnerable and being a great example for your listeners. So
no, thank you.
This is what's
open.
Next we next this
exactly.
now is next.
Yes, now thank you so much
that.
For being here and being so open and knowledgeable too. I mean, the verbiage, you know.
Oh,
you,
yeah,
we're like, oh,
hey, she a little bit.
She is
she
intelligent.
Knows things.
And oh my God, I love it. So thank you so much.
All right, guys. Well, that is it for this week's episode. We want to thank you guys so much for all of your support. Make sure you guys go to your podcast app or Podcast One app, search for Ladies Like Us, and hit subscribe. And also, please make sure you leave us a rating and a review. And to follow us on Instagram, you can follow Shan Boudram at Shan Booty. You can follow Nazanin at Nazanin Mandy. You can follow me at Nadia Moham _beauty. And of course, at the Ladies Like Us podcast. Thanks again, and we'll see you next time. And always remember,
you can sit with us.
Thanks for listening to Ladies Like Us from the Lady Gang and Podcast One. Be sure to download new episodes every Tuesday on Apple Podcasts or on the Podcast One app. And remember, don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe.
And before we go, guys, we just want to take a minute to thank all of our amazing sponsors. If you want to learn more about them, be sure to check out the show notes for this episode.
Hey, Jordan here. I know a lot of you create your own podcasts, and a lot of you already have one like me. I obviously love what I do. It's taken a lot of hard work to get to this point of success. You shouldn't have to pay fees for platform hosting, distribution, analytics, or fees to create a podcast. You need to be able to focus on producing the best show possible. Now, Podcast One, that's a network I'm on, they have Launchpad Digital Media, or Launchpad DM for short. So it's free, includes unlimited hosting, full control of distribution. You have access to a full dashboard with analytics. Again, totally free. You own everything, by the way. You own your content, you own your subscribers, no tricky stuff there. And you get your own show page on launchpaddm.com for people to listen to and subscribe to your show. It's the only hosting platform brought to you by the leading network, Podcast One. Podcast One will promote the site, drive people to discover your podcast, and if your show grows, you could even be invited to join Podcast One's all-star roster, which includes people like Adam Carolla, Caitlin Bristow, Shaq, Lady Gang, and of course me, Jordan Harbinger. I'm there too. You also get access to their production and sales support. So with all this completely free, don't use other hosting platforms. Why would you need to? Learn more or sign up now at launchpaddm.com. And don't forget to check out The Jordan Harbinger Show.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.